whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
And be us. This is the Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're talking to Karen, who hopefully is still there, and her phone link issues. And
yes, I am still here.
We've done some troubleshooting. We think we're onto something, maybe.
All right. We've got two things to look at. We're not talking about compatibility or connectivity.
No.
Because they exist.
Yep.
It's just that there's a delay.
Right.
Okay. What we need to do is deal with that. Number one, it could be on the computer side. And if it's on the computer side, it's probably got to do with the Bluetooth connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
What I would do is on the computer, I would go into Device Manager. And there I would uninstall the Bluetooth network adapter. Then reboot.
Oh.
It sounds bad. It's not. This is actually completely harmless.
Yes.
Because the next time the computer boots, it's going to find that adapter and it's going to reinstall it. And that's what we want it to do.
Yeah.
We want it to start from fresh with that and just kind of reestablish how it works with the computer.
See if that device
manager on the computer.
Yep.
Manager. Okay.
Now, number two. It could be on the phone side.
Mm-hmm.
And on the phone side, what you want to do is see if there's power management or battery management. We've been talking about batteries all morning.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be that the battery management or power management is causing that connectivity to break periodically in order to save power. What you want to do, unfortunately, is to turn off battery
management.
Battery management.
When you're doing this.
When you're using your link to the phone, to the computer, sorry.
Okay.
Or I saw this cool thing on Facebook where you can actually take a magnet and connect your phone to stick it right next to the screen and have that way you don't have to even look at the screen. It's just sitting next to you. It doesn't even have to be talking to the computer. It's just sitting right there.
And I could give you all my passwords too.
Yeah, you could. But this, I'm not joking about this thing. It's pretty cool. I mean, you just put it right there next to your computer. It has this little magnet that goes in the back of the computer, and you just have it hanging there. But yeah, those are the two things to try, Karen.
Okay, I like them.
All right.
I haven't even thought about the Bluetooth, so I'll give it a try.
Yeah, the Bluetooth is definitely an issue. I think it's part of your problem. Either you got too much stuff going on with the Bluetooth, I think. But let's just see how these two things work for you.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You got it.
Have a good week.
You too. All right. Karen's going to give that a shot. Bye-bye. So, Dennis, when is a door not a door?
I don't know. When it's a window?
When it's a jar.
Boom.
So reason I bring this up, I try to do as much automation as I can because I'm a geek, right? So I want to monitor the place we have in Florida. And so I have a quote unquote smart refrigerator. It doesn't remember, though, to come back on after a power outage. We won't go there. Remember, I talked to you about that before.
Oh, yeah.
But
wow.
In this case, I'm driving along, minding my own business, and I get a notification on my phone that my refrigerator door is ajar.
Oh.
But there's no notification on my phone that someone went into the condo. So why am I getting a notification that my refrigerator door is ajar when nobody's in there?
Oh.
Right?
Right.
It's a little perplexing. I'm like, what's going on? How did that happen? How could it become ajar without anybody
entering
it?
Yeah.
So that's a little perplexing. It turned out that somebody was in there and the smart lock didn't tell me until much later that, you know, they're there. But it was like a little, I mean, just for a second, I'm like, what's going on here? Obviously, I deduced what was going on, but I'd never got that notice like that with nobody there. Uh-oh, Joey's had this issue. Yeah, no. We clear that thing out. We clear that thing out when we go. Yeah, no. But yeah, it was crazy. I'm like, my door's ajar. What are you talking about? So that's the thing about these automated systems. You hope they come in handy, and then they always freak you out. You know, yeah. Oh, then not just on, but they just flash.
Whoa.
It probably reminds you of 91, where all those lights are all messed up and blinking and purple. And you would. So, yeah, it's a Joey thing. But, yeah, so my door was ajar, and I was like, ooh, what's going on? Again, this technology is still working. It's the year 2025, and, yes, your refrigerator is now smart. You know, like every OS Sucks song says, you know, it used to take, you know, your fridge doesn't take a, or your TV doesn't take a week to mute it. Yeah, it does these days. It can just freeze up. Actually, I was driving in my car and the whole entertainment system on my car froze up. I couldn't even turn the volume up and down physically. The software obviously froze and then disconnected from my ability to make any changes in my car physically. I was like, what the heck is going on? But I think it's because it was just too cold. Let's go to David in Vernon next. What's going on, David?
I'm not sure I can follow that conversation.
When is your door ajar? What's
up? No, I got a printer issue.
All right.
I got an Epson 2750. And it does not want to print. I've gone downstairs to it because it's wireless. And I checked to make sure I had the most recent software. I did the test print.
Okay, good. Good. And it prints.
Right. And as far as I know, on that end, everything's looking good. So I don't know what to call it, but I find this thing on I don't know. It says, printer blocked /data/user/0/ com.microsoft. Hold on a second. I just lost it.
You're getting an error like that when you try to print? Not that it's simply offline.
Well, that's the error I'm getting.
All right. Some sort of com block.
Waiting to send.
Yeah. So I think this is a simple fix. I think your computer doesn't know what IP address your printer is, which is a common problem in wireless printers. Because you failed to reserve an IP address in the DHCP scheme of the firewall. You have to set a static IP address for that printer. And, you know, set it if your network IP address of your computer, let's say if you do an IP config of, within the command line, you'll see your computer is maybe a 192.168.1. Something. It's trying to find a printer that is either in a different scheme or not available, or it moved because it rebooted and got a new IP address. So set it as 192.168.1.4 manually and then tell your firewall not to give out that address.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. He's getting test prints.
But I think he's probably doing that from the printer, right?
Or are you doing it from Windows?
I'm doing it from my tablet, actually.
You're doing it from your tablet, not from your computer?
I don't use a computer. It's a tablet or my cell phone.
Oh. Okay. So you are doing it. You are actually speaking to the printer, sort of.
Yeah. I would say we're not talking about... I don't think we're talking about a networking issue.
No, but he's doing wireless printing through a tablet, which is going to go out of the network and back in.
And you're getting an error that says the printer is blocked by com.microsoft. What?
com.microsoft.office/hubbrew/files/temp/office/something.
Holy moly.
And it ran out of space.
So do you have a wireless printer app for that Epson on your phone? Any kind of management app for that printer?
On my tablet I do, yeah.
Okay. And when you're in there, you can do the test printing. You can get all that going.
That I'd have to double check because I've only done it on the actual unit in the basement.
Oh, so you never did it from the app?
Well, I'm saying this thing used to print. Literally.
If we had a nickel for used to, we get that. So when you did your test print, did you physically go to the printer in the basement and print a test? But did you use the interface on the printer itself to get your test print out, or did you do it from the tablet?
From the printer.
From the printer. That's what I thought. Yep.
All right. Now, here's another dumb question. What kind of tablet do you have? Is it a Surface?
I got a Galaxy.
All right. It's Android.
All right. Yeah. Well... com.microsoft.
It's going out. It's using a wireless service to get out.
All right, he's using the Android Word app to print.
But I don't think you can see the IP address because he went and did it physically. So I think your I think your tablet doesn't know where the printer is,
it
number one.
It might not.
Can you try to reinstall your printer on your tablet?
I'm more than willing to do that.
So you got to go find out what the IP address of that printer is. So you got to go physically down to your basement. And you got to ask yourself why you stuck your printer in your basement. I don't know why you're being so mean to it. But go down there and bring up the config. If you do a test print or a configuration print, it'll tell you the IP address of what the printer thinks it is. Then go back and go configure that app to, it should ask you where the printer is. It should ask you for an IP address. They need to match. If they don't match, then that's your problem or part of your problem. Although Dennis is still puzzling on that whole, I think it's also going out to a service of some kind to do this wireless printing.
Well, that's what I'm thinking about. Yeah. It may be that there's a service probably run by Samsung.
Yeah.
Or who knows. And the printer checks in with that periodically.
Right.
And then the tablet checks in periodically, and they now disagree.
Right.
But I'm not sure what he can do to get them to agree, because I don't know what kind of management would be available within the app on the tablet to do that. It may be that you have to uninstall the app on the phone or tablet, both, and then reinstall it, and then go through the configuration process a second time to have the app find it again. That's about the only thing that I can think of.
But give it a fixed IP address.
But correct. And that you've got to do in your router's configuration.
And the printers.
Nope.
But I think
you can leave the printer on DHCP.
I think the IP address printed out when I did the test print on the unit.
Yeah.
So I got it.
You got it. Okay, but check it again, because if it reboots, it can get a different IP address.
It could.
That's why I want you to fix it as a fixed IP.
Yeah, but the problem is that a lot of consumer routers are just going to give out the entire IP range over DHCP, and then you've got to go into the router and change the range that it's given out.
That's the thing.
So either way, he's in the router.
I'm going to throw another loop in here. I got go net speed.
That's fine.
That doesn't make a difference. It's their router?
Yeah.
All right. Then you go into that router and you just, whatever the interface is, I don't know what you've got, but there will be somewhere in that interface that allows you to assign an IP address to that printer. And it is assigned only to that printer. Nothing else will ever get it. The printer itself will never get another IP address, because that's always what the router is going to tell it to take. And then you would you'd have a stable connection for any device that you're using.
Right. That's the issue with this stuff.
The interesting thing is, I mean, I've had the printer for 3 or 4 years and GoNetSpeed for a couple of years. Yeah. Everything was working fine and dandy.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden it started to tail off and fail.
That's how a lot of this stuff happens. Everything is fine for a couple of years, and then something goes wrong.
Or you introduce a device that took the IP address of the printer.
Yeah, that could have happened.
So the more devices we bring into your network, the more IPs are being handed out. And depending on the lease time and depending on what's connected, you have a smart doorbell, IP address. You have a smart speaker, IP address. All these devices take up IPs. And there's only a finite amount, and that's part of the issue, too. So everything has an address on the network, a local address.
Am I supposed to unplug all the rest of the other stuff and keep the printer
No.
No. That's why you do the reservation. If you say, I'm going to have static devices that are going to go between, let's say, 1 and 25, and you say, hand out DHCP addresses at IP 26, anything that can get a random IP address will get one. Like cell phones and like smart TVs or whatever. But anything that needs to know where you are, anything you have to connect into, like cameras or connect to smart garage door openers, anything that needs to be more fixed, you'll assign IP addresses within that 1 to 25 range so that you know your garage door is at this, you know your doorbell is at that, you know your printer is at this. A little bit of network management, which is, again, what geeks are for. But we want you to be a geek too, as Dennis always says.
Yeah.
So.
And that's beyond my capacity.
But unfortunately, it is the nature of where we are. They can't make these systems smart enough. They try, and that's why I think it's going out to talk to it in a different way.
That, you're right. That's why they use the service to try to externally manage both things.
Right.
But it breaks down sometimes
because
of the infrequency of it, of each device communicating with it.
Right. So start fresh. Like, pretend you just bought that printer and go through the setup process. Maybe remove the app from your tablet and start over again. And try those IP reserves that we talked about and see if that helps you.
All right. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, and you got two. This will make it a little worse here, but you've got two types of IP addresses, IPv4 and IPv6. So depending on your tablet and how current it is, it may be choosing IPv6 rather than IPv4, and there's another whole different area of DHCP you have to set up and do the same thing we talked about with IPv4. It's just a little messier to look at. But it works the same way.
Yeah, but it sounds like I need to hire somebody.
Mm. 15-year-old in your neighborhood.
Yeah, right.
You could do it. Again, the service is probably the key here. That's that third-party interface is probably making it work or not work.
All right, gentlemen.
All right. I'm not sure we've helped you much, but good luck, David.
Thank you.
You got it. Bye-bye. That's the problem with wireless devices, too. You know, when it's hardwired, it just seems to work better. But go ahead.
I was going to say that probably just assign a DHCP reservation for every device you add to your network.
Mm-hmm.
Just every time you add something. Go into that router and
reserve
that new device.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter which particular IP it's having. Just make sure that it's reserved, because then everything will get that one IP address that it always has had, and that's all that it will ever have.
And if you have your own like firewall, you can actually look at some of these things. They have a network mapping tool. You can see how many devices are connected to your network and how many have been connected to your network. It's crazy how many things come in and out.
Oh, yeah.
So... All right, we're going to step out for a quick break, Joey, right? We got four lines wide open. Joey Burgoyne at the helm. Joey goes back at least, how many years now, Joey? 16, half of our experience here at 1080. It's good to have him back there, although he's here till 4, as he says. But stick around. Get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. This is Computer Talk. We'll be back. Yes, we are back. This is my name's Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we'll be here until 11. Taking your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. And I think Dr. Lessie will be in. He'll be helping you out with your health advice, giving you a second opinion. Stick around for that. Let's get right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this snowy Saturday morning. Let's go to Jay in Waterbury. What's going on, Jay?
Eric and Dennis, good to hear from you. I'm a senior citizen, and I still got one of these, what you call, home landline phones.
Yeah.
I still got a Rowie phone. Now, I deal with, can I say Frontier? And
sure.
When I get the bill, I don't hardly ever use the landline. Right now, I'm talking on a cell phone, Verizon.
Right.
And the thing is that Frontier, they want to update the system, going from the copper wire to the fiber optics, in which I don't really care about that kind of stuff. Knowing that even if there's a storm, the lines could still come down. And the other thing is, when I get the bill, half of it is federal and state taxes and fees. And I never use the phone. So right now, I was trying to set up, I have what you call Straight Talk Wireless. It's a home phone, non-contract replacement for the landline.
Nice.
And $15. Now, I'm trying to get it. So is that all right? Do you recommend something like that? It's wireless. I got it plugged in. It's charged on that. I already tried talking with the Straight Talk people, and I'm having a problem to transfer my land line phone number I've had for years to the wireless system. Now, I don't know. I'm not so sure about doing any of this stuff.
Yeah.
So what do you recommend? Do you recommend me just get another cell phone, a smartphone, which I'm not too fond of?
No, I don't think so. We're coming up against a hard break here, Jay. We're going to get to your call after the news, but I'll tell you this. You have two choices. You have a cell phone already, right?
Yes, but I would like to have another one as a backup, and I was thinking about having the landline wireless as a backup.
Yeah, it's too expensive to do both. I wouldn't recommend it, but let's get back to you after this break after the news, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, we'll put you on hold. Hang on. We'll see if we can help Jay out, and we'll be right back. And we are back, and we are doing our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We were on with Jay in Waterbury, and he's got an old landline. You still there, Jay?
Yes. What's interesting, just hearing one of your advertisements on your radio show for a consumer seller, they also, because I contact, they also sell a home-based, what you call landline replacement device.
That's cellular still. It's a cellular connection.
Yeah.
So that's not any different.
Yeah, but it's wireless, and it's by a company called Versa. And it has the same setup, like it has the two antennas and it's a little small flat thing device.
But I'll tell you, Jay, that you don't need two lines. One is plenty. You don't need to go and have a second line or pay for a second line. No matter what you go ahead and subscribe to, you're going to pay all those fees, all those taxes, the War of 1812 charge. All that's going to be on there. You don't need it. Having your main cell phone as your number can be fine. Now, if you still love your number, like for some reason all your friends have your old phone number. You could create a Google Voice account. And Google Voice, make sure you secure this thing because these Google Voice accounts, the bad guys are looking to take them all the time. But you can create a Google Voice account and forward that number. Basically, Google takes the number away from Frontier. And then when people call the Google Voice, you can say, just ring my cell phone. So it forwards the call from that old phone number to your cell phone. And there's no cost for that yet. And that's a way to get around your problem.
Well, the only thing is I'm not connected. I don't bother with the Internet, which I don't have no desire to.
Right.
I see it as a hacker's paradise.
Sure.
And what I do is I'm still connected to the old landline Frontier and all that. I do every month, I get the bill, and I pay by money order. And I pay this, but it's kind of about $60 a month for not being used. But if I use this home phone, Straight Talk, I'll go to Walmart, get a car, $15 a month.
Yeah.
And I don't text. I don't all that kind of stuff. Basic talk.
Well, then I'll tell you again. Tell your friends your new number is your Straight Talk phone, and then cancel the Frontier and save yourself $60. That's what I would tell you to do.
I not be able to transfer that number that I've been using for 60 years.
You could. You can, if you don't want to do the internet at home, go to a senior center or go to the library and go online and do it way. It's a way to do it.
All right. Okay.
But, you know, the Buggy Whip guys had to get rid of their things, too. So let's get rid of the old landline. You don't need it.
Yeah, when there's a storm, the line comes. Over the past few days, 10 days, they've had these strong winds. That was just a matter of time where both power, electric power, and cell phone lines would be down, but didn't happen. But
yeah, well, cell phones are going to be up longer than that because they learned from the October snowstorm 10 years ago now.
Almost 15.
15, where you actually should get some generators going to keep those cell towers running. So now they're prepared for that.
Yeah, well, I even have a generator. I could go solar. I even have a little wind generator if I need to charge the cell phone.
Yeah,
okay, Eric and Dennis. Very interesting, but I'm just a little upset about the fact that, things are just getting too complicated for me anyways.
I hear you. It's complicated for everybody.
I like your basic down-to-earth, Eric. I like when you like the basic stuff. But
I
now
hear you.
You're getting more complicated now, wireless and everything.
Well, again, I'm trying to have something work for you, but I would tell you the first thing to do is get rid of that line. Forget it.
Okay, Eric and Dennis, thank you.
All right, Jay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Happy New Year, by the way. Stay healthy. Bye.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. Yeah, right. I mean, just because you had a number doesn't mean you need that number.
I don't know.
So, and for $60 and you're not using it? All right, let's go to our buddy Carmen in Florida. Carmen, how are you?
I'm well, Eric. How are you?
Good, good. Nice chatting with you. Thanks for calling in. What's going on?
Well, I had a question for you about a month back. You talked about the ASUS situation and malware and various other things. And I am running, and I've been running it for a while, an ASUS AC2400, and the firmware, when I go to upgrade it, it's current. I always keep it current, and it's on 3.0.0.4, 382, 52545. Now, mm-hmm. I can't find specifically if that particular model, the AC2400, is a problem with malware, or is it just the software that's a problem with ASUS? Because, I mean, it's not a problem. I'm kind of due for a new router. I was going to do an Eero mesh system anyways, but this works. It works perfectly. I have fiber here in the villages. We have almost 5 or 6 different choices for internet. And, if it ain't broke, why fix it?
Yeah, right, so now firewalls are constantly having issues and need to be patched. And, you know, you name the firewall. Fortinet just had a big issue with them.
Mm-hmm.
You get the ASUS. If the firewall is of a certain age, let's say it's 4 to 5 years old, maybe it's time to replace it just to get a current firewall in there. Take advantage of that great village performance.
Right. Right. Okay. Well, that's interesting. Now, I do. I'm sorry, Eric, but I went to the other side.
Yeah.
I'm a Mac guy now.
I think I saw you post about that. It's cool.
Yeah, I'm a Mac guy now. Yeah. And, you know, you need to know the villages has the second largest Mac users group in the country.
I believe it.
And yes, we're over 700 strong.
Wow.
And we have a great organization here. I'm on the advisory board. And we have Zoom help sessions, in-person help sessions. You wouldn't believe the amount of money that the people have here to spend on Apple devices. It's like when the new stuff comes out, they're like at their computer ready to hit the enter button.
I love it.
To buy.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. But I do run a virus malware software on my Mac. It's called Intego. It's made just for Apple.
All right.
I don't even think it has a Windows component. So we're not an afterthought.
Yep.
And I check it, you know, constantly, and I certainly haven't been compromised. So
no, you're very conscientious. You're one of those guys that would be more difficult to compromise. But that's
oh, thanks. Until it happens.
Well,
you know, but,
yeah, we're all fallible.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you guys have that down there. That's one of the biggest things lacking around here for seniors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the senior centers are trying, the libraries are trying, but it's still so lacking. Can anybody be a member of this village's user group from anywhere in the country?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. And here's the best part.
Yeah.
It costs $10 a year, and it's the best $10 you'll ever spend.
Nice.
And we have a website where we have presentations. And like I said, we do every Tuesday from 1:30 to 2:30, we do Zoom sessions, which consist of help sessions, information sessions. We have guest speakers. And then if you live here, we do an in-person session, which we did last Tuesday, and I think we had almost 35 or 40 people.
Wonderful. That's awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, if you
cool.
want to send that information, we can link it back.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Very good.
The villages do everything
now,
big.
Yeah, that is true. You know it well. You're just down the road.
Exactly.
So for now, I should be okay, but it probably wouldn't be a good idea maybe to, I mean, I'm not going to be compromised per se, but might be a good idea to update the hardware.
If it gets to, again, 5 or 6 years out of anything, you should consider replacement. But anything you choose from, you name the brand, can have these problems, right? They can have compromises and patches and vulnerabilities that need to be corrected. And it's not like you're going to avoid it by picking the next technology. I wish you were. It's just a matter of when that is going to have a compromise.
Okay, excellent. So. Well, I appreciate your help.
Yeah.
I listen every week.
Thanks, Carmen.
And, you guys are doing a great job. You're as good a service there as we are here.
I love it. $10 a year.
$10 a year?
$10 a year. And we give scholarships. And it's a great, great club.
I love it. That's
now
great.
All we need is an Apple store in this area.
I can't believe they haven't put one right in the middle of the villages.
Why isn't there one already?
Yeah, isn't that part of the...
It's amazing because Orlando has 3, then you go to Tampa, which has 2, and then moving up through Gainesville, the nearest one is Jacksonville.
Huh.
There isn't one in Gainesville? That's where...
There is
that's
not
where,
one...
In how many universities are in Gainesville?
Well, look, it's the University of Florida, which is almost, 70.
Yeah, I think there's a couple other colleges in that area, too, though.
I'm sure there is. And we have written, we have petitioned. Hey, they just started digging for a Costco here. So, you know, we have some victories, if you know what I mean.
It's up. Throw your weight around.
Yeah, and you know, we're 170,000 strong now, and people have expendable income here.
Yes.
This would be a no-brainer.
Does sound like a no-brainer. You guys are just waiting to buy and spend. I mean, that whole 25 to 54 demographic, it's important, right. But it's not. The people who have the actual money to spend is where you're sitting right there.
There you go. I was in Boston over Christmas, the largest Apple store, I think, in the United States, or four floors. And it wasn't that busy. And had a great time in there for a couple of hours. It's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. I'm glad you're enjoying the Apple world, and maybe I'll join you someday too. Just I can't afford it yet. I got three weddings coming up.
There you go. Very good. Take care, guys.
All right. Thanks, Carmen. All right. That's Carmen Fularamo. He would come on and do our digital camera show for years. He's a professional photographer. He's retired, and he's enjoying his life down there in the Villages. And we'll find that link for you that he's talking about if you want to be part of his user group down there. I would say if it's not just Apple. I mean, even though if you're not an Apple user, you can get some benefits out of being part of a group like that, because they seem to have experts that go in there and talk about technology and issues. And hopefully they're talking about, you know, security and talking about problems that you should be looking out for, because along with the fact that you do have disposable income as you're older, you're also more of a target. You're just such a, you know, people that just are too nice. They're too gullible. And like I was joking, Karen even said it, you know, asking your password, you can't trust any of this stuff online. And, the young whippersnappers out there in Uzbekistan are coming after you, and you definitely want to protect yourself. And that only way to do that is with some sort of security awareness training, which would be part of like a user group like this, would help with those experts to kind of warn you about what you should be looking for. So it's probably a good idea. We'll step out for a quick break. Get to your calls. 860-522-9842 is the number. This is Computer Talk, the first one of 2025. All right. We are back. Here till 11, so feel free to get online, and we'll help you out if we can with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And let's go to Nancy next in Farmington. What's going on, Nancy?
Hi there. I have Xfinity, and my landline is not consistent, so I want to get rid of my landline.
Yeah.
But I have T-Mobile, and that's not always the most consistent. So where I live in Farmington, it's not. It seems like there's a void of good signal, but I don't know if there's any type of booster or something I could get.
Well, the easiest thing to do, you're going to keep your Xfinity internet service, correct?
I am for the time being.
Okay.
I'm investigating other options I have for that.
Okay, and that's cool. But you could do what's called Wi-Fi calling. So you'd want to, if your phone is capable, you would just turn on Wi-Fi calling and have your phone, instead of connecting to the cell service that you can't reach because the tower is too far away, you're going to actually make your call through your internet service by connecting to turning on Wi-Fi calling if your phone supports it.
Okay. It should. It's an iPhone, I don't know, a relatively new one, maybe 15 or 13.
Yeah, I bet you it does. So you just got to flip that switch on, turn on Wi-Fi calling, and now it's going to use that signal. As long as it feels that signal is stronger than the cell signal, it could make a mistake. It could connect to the cell service and think, oh, yeah, I'm good. And then you could walk around and all of a sudden it loses it. It should auto change over to the Wi-Fi to continue out with that call. But but it should greatly improve your service that way.
Okay, super. And I know our area does not have Go Net Speed, but would you recommend another type of internet?
Well, the other types would be wireless then. You'd be looking at maybe Starlink. Elon's got so many satellites up there, it's getting ridiculous. And then, of course, you've got cellular again, which, again, if T-Mobile's too far away, you may have to go online and look at see if Verizon's got a better signal. You have to see what's in the area for wireless. You could consider the other incumbent internet provider, which would probably be Frontier.
Right.
They're going to want to sell you fiber before GoNetSpeed gets in there.
Right. All right. Wow. Thank you so much. I'll check into that and see if I can just cut that cable today.
All right. Good luck, Nance.
All right. Hey, thank you so much.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye.
All right. So she's going to do some Wi-Fi calling. That's a good way around it.
So. Yeah. Yeah. It's very helpful.
So what's going on, Dennis? You want to bring something else up for
folks to be aware of?
Yeah, there's kind of a controversy about a fairly famous browser extension. And this one is called Honey, and it happens to be owned by PayPal at the moment.
Yeah, Joey's nodding. He must use it.
And it turns out that a lot of people use it, not just Joey. Well, yeah, that's what I'm going to get to.
Yeah.
It turns out that the code in the bottom line is the extension is supposed to help you shop online and provide you with either codes that you can use when you're checking out, when you're buying something. It can also provide deal finding advice, you know, to find you a better deal on some other site and so on.
Gotcha.
At least that's what it's supposed to do. It turns out that it doesn't always do that.
Not surprising.
Also, it has hooks with affiliate sellers where, let's say you sell something.
Yep.
I'm on somebody else's website to buy it.
I sell a bowling ball. I sell bowling balls.
But the Honey extension in my browser might tell me to go look at your site.
Yeah, great.
And buy from there because maybe it's a dollar cheaper or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Okay? I would like that.
Now, and when that happens, there's supposed to be affiliate revenue that comes in,
right?
From ads and other things that are embedded in the Honey extension.
Do I have to pay that as the seller of the bowling balls?
Not necessarily.
Oh,
but the problem is that there are influencers who have been promoting the Honey extension,
and
they are supposed to
otherwise known as just ding-dongs.
Ding-dongs on YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, they are also paying for ads, and they're offering ads on their site that Honey is supposed to pick up.
Right.
And when, let's say somebody is, you're paying for ads on somebody's YouTube channel.
For my bowling balls.
Right. And then I use that and the Honey extension to buy your bowling ball.
Yeah.
You are supposed to pay that influencer.
I am.
A little advertising commission. All right. And that's part of how advertising works. All right. That's how they make their money.
I gotcha.
So that you can make your money.
Right. That's okay. Sell my balls.
Well, what happened is it turns out that the Honey extension is rerouting that affiliate money to itself.
Well, that's really handy.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna pay Honey?
Also, another problem with the Honey extension is that it doesn't always find you the best deal for something that you're looking for in the first place.
Well, that's pretty common on the interwebs.
And it doesn't always find the best promo codes that you could use during checkout.
Because it's all smoke and mirrors.
So it turns out that it doesn't always do all of the different things that it's supposed to do.
And, of course, it helps itself.
And it helps itself because there's like a PayPal rewards program that ends up with a lot of the revenues that should be going to other people.
So Joey, what did you use it for? Well, you do even do that in search engine marketing. You actually buy your competitors' names so that person searches on, you know, Bob's bowling balls. I've already bought Bob's bowling balls name, so it goes to Eric's bowling balls. It's a battle out there, man.
Oh yeah.
So Honey's done, huh?
It looks that way. It's
all right. Well,
Honey is toast.
You reap what you sow. We'll put a link up there to that story as well, guys. I want to thank all of you for joining on this Saturday morning. Thank you to the great Joey Burgoyne for running the program for us. We love it. The music was awesome. And I want to thank Mike G posting everything live over to Facebook and Twitter. And now Zuckerberg won't stop it. He doesn't have to worry about being worthy or not. And Dennis will post everything to our website too. A little delayed on that. It's a new website. We're having issues
with
the interface.
We're having trouble getting those in, but we'll get them in.
We'll get them in for you, and we do appreciate all that from you guys. So, as usual and customary.
Remember, we want you to be geeks, too.
See you next Saturday.